I'm excited about today. I almost did not preach this message because it's kind of a more of a teaching. It's almost kind of a seminar type approach to it. But I felt pretty strong leadership, especially on Thursday, that no, this was like mandatory. You don't have an option here, buddy. So I'm going to preach this to you, speak this to you. And I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit, of course, throughout it. And this may not apply to you now, but it may apply later in your life and situations. And certainly it could be helpful to friends that you know. As we continue the 40-day study, we're looking at this whole thing of moving as a church from friendly to family. Say that with me, from friendly to family. So we're working on that. 40-day study is helping us do that as we're learning how to deepen the community, the fellowship, the love, the relationships within our church family, and then that spilling out into the community and showing love to those around us in need. And we've done this past week, as I said kind of before the offering, we were able to get out to the community after sort of taking care of our people over the last 2-3 weeks. We're now moving into the community and helping out individuals there. And very happy today to have a special guest with us. He does not like to be acknowledged, but I'm going to acknowledge him anyway. His name is Joe Fuller from the Texas Baptist Men. Joe, raise your hand. Come on now. Joe Fuller. Joe is here, and he is coordinating all of the mud-out crews that we're sending out into our community on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Joe, how many houses did we kind of get done, or we're in the process?
We completed about 10, and we still have 5 working on.
Okay, so we completed 10. We got 5 more to come. And so we're just kind of accumulating those over the next several days. We'll probably pick up a few more as well. So if you'd like to help out, talk with me about that. Or actually, you don't have to talk to us. Just show up at Grace Bible Church at 8 o'clock on either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday with your tools. You can find out what the mud out tools are by going to our website. Look under Hurricane Recovery on the homepage, and you can that will drop down and tell you the things that you can bring. You don't have to bring all those things, but some of those things would be very, very helpful. But Joe's done a fantastic job organizing those crews and getting us out there and getting us feeling confident doing our work. But that's part of why we experience community here. We experience that love here, and then we demonstrate that love to others. And so this week, during the 40 days study, for those that went to our adult Bible fellowship at 9:45, you know, it was all about building together. Or what was the topic? Belonging together. The importance of our brothers and sisters in Christ and why we need to have relationships, not just with, you know, our family, but we also need to have relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you didn't come at 9:45 this morning, then please come back at 6:30 on Wednesday for the small group study. We'll be meeting in Multipurpose Room A. It's an excellent study. Cliff was telling me about how powerful it was in crosstalk this morning. So I know it's going to be a powerful study. Just come back to that. We'll have our small group time together. And you can take this, personalize this study more than just sort of hearing a message on it on Sunday, but then also learn how to apply it to your life through the small group studies and the adult Bible fellowships. So here we are. We're talking about this whole thing of belonging together and why relationships are so important. And this thing of restoring unity in relationships. Again, this may not be where you are today. All your relationships may be great. That's fantastic. But probably some of you need some help today. And so this little tool that you have, that insert, is going to help you do that. Why don't we have unity in our relationships? Well, look at the very first sentence, or actually the first two sentences there in James chapter 4. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Read the next sentence with me. Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? And then he talks about those evil desires. Listen, the reason why some of you are not living in unity with family members or friends is because of that thing, of this selfishness, of this old way of living life. As some of you would say, man, I've tried, and it's just not working out. It may be somebody else's selfishness. That's why these quarrels, why these divisions happen among us. Love is the number one. I need you to say amen after I say this, okay? Love is the number one identifier of a believer. Amen? Amen, it is. And if love is the number one identifier, then one of the outflows of that love is unity. We'll get into why that's important in just a moment. But this whole thing, now, see, here's what's going on in some of your lives. Oh, I got this down. I'm good with this. But I want you to think about this with me, okay? Think about your relationships, coworkers, family members, whatever. Think about those relationships. How would you characterize those relationships? Are they healthy? Are they whole? Is there real love there? If you have this person mad at you, and that person not talking to you, and it's always somebody else's fault, then there is a problem you have with your experience or your understanding or your expression of love. There's something wrong there. Sure, we're going to have problems. That's just a given. Even God has enemies, right? The devil hates God. And the Bible says that we are God's enemies. In other words, we got a problem with God. That's the way we are before we come to faith in Jesus. He doesn't have a problem with us. That's why he sent Jesus. Man, I really don't have a problem with these people, but I got to make them right with me. And so he sent Jesus so we can help. But up until we put our faith in Christ, the Bible says our hand is essentially with a fist toward God. I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you. So we're his enemies. But he's done everything to reconcile himself to us. So this thing of unity is found throughout Scripture. This thing of working together. Read 1 Peter chapter 3 with me. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude. Okay, again, this is all in relationship to people. Verse 9, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's what God has called you to do. Amen. This is all about living in unity with people. And he gives us these commands here to be sympathetic and humble towards people. So why is unity so important to God? You have these reasons here. I'm not going to spend time on all of them, but let me just give you a couple of them, or three of them here. First one is because it's at the core of who God is. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are deeply in love with each other. They love each other. It's not some sort of corporate hierarchy where, you know, the Father's directing all the stuff and Jesus is just sir and Holy Spirit is just sir. It's none of that, okay? They have a love relationship, and out of this love relationship flows unity. And this unity is perfectly seen in heaven. And one day it will be perfectly seen here on earth. When Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom, everything will be in unity. And when there is unity, there is harmony. That's just, it's seamless. Everything works perfectly together. And all of that emanates from the heart of love that they have for each other. The unity comes out. Harmony then happens in the environment. That's what, when people have died and come back from heaven, you know, those near-death experiences, one of the things they say, man, it's just perfect peace. It's like everything works together. Everything's just seamless. Why? It's because that perfect love spilling out from God comes in the form of unity and then brings harmony everywhere it goes. It's very important to God. Another thing is this, it is a sign that Jesus has been sent by the Father. John 17, Jesus prayed it out. John 17, he said this, look, Jesus was praying. He said, Father, make them one. He's talking about us. Make them one, make us one, make them one, so that the world will truly know that I have been sent by you. Why is it that the world says, that Jesus stuff? Why is it that the world says, I don't believe what you have to say. I don't believe what you have to offer. Why is it that the church, that the people are hostile towards Jesus or hostile to Christians? One reason is because of all the divisions in the body of Christ. With all those divisions, they can say, you know what? Jesus truly hadn't been sent by the Father because I see all the divisions in your life and in all your churches. He says, you pray that there be one, that they be one. Jesus said, I'm praying that they be one so that the world will say, I've truly been sent by the Father. Listen, this thing of unity is incredibly important to God. You realize, look at me. Hey, come on. Look at me. Look here. There are people going to hell today because of the division and the disunity of your homes, my family, our church, the church worldwide. Do you realize that the evangelism, that the salvation of lost people could be accelerated if our homes had more unity and if the church as a whole had more unity? That's what he's saying here. And John 7, that's why unity is, it's not like, here we go, right here. Read it with me on the screen. Since love is the supreme value of Christian life, not an option. It is not an option. Like, well, you know, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't care. Whatever. Maybe we'll get along, maybe we won't get along. It doesn't really. Oh, it matters a lot. John 17, it is of eternal importance. It's important to God that there be unity within your family, within your church family, and with all of your relationships. If you look there at your at the diagram, you see here, can we get it up on the back screen? That would be helpful. The slippery slope of conflict. This comes, hopefully it's in your note from peacemaker.net. It's a really good way of understanding the spectrum of conflict and of unity. And so what you have here is how we respond to conflict. And so you put yourself on this little spectrum. Because some of us, we may find ourselves on, whoops, just a second. I'm sorry, it shut me out of the PowerPoint. There we go. Let's see if we can get back to, is it pulling it up? Okay, there we go. This is how we respond to conflict. On one side, you have what are called escape responses or peace faking. And I know people who've killed themselves because of this. There's such conflict, they think there's no way out, I'll just kill myself. All right? Maybe you know people like that. The next one, flight. Here's what flight says. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to get buried into my job. I'm going to get buried into my hobbies. I'm going to get buried into whatever else. Drinking, drugs, wild living, whatever. I don't want to deal with this thing. I'll just get out of the situation. I'm just going to get out of the home. I'm just going to get them out of my mind. I'm going to get out, whatever. I'm just not going to deal with it. And that's what some of you are doing. Flight. I don't want to deal with it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. Which moves into the next one, which is denial. Denial says, oh, it's no problem. We're okay. We're good. Are you really good? I was talking to somebody. They were telling me, about all of their relationships, many of their relationships, important relationships. Got a problem here, got a problem here, got a problem here, got a problem here. I said, so how are you doing about it? Oh, I'm doing good. You're not. You're lying. You're lying. I'm doing fine. No, it's just denial. I don't want to mess with it. You know? I don't want to see what's really happening. You put it out of your mind. This isn't happening. The next section there are conciliation responses. And you have six. Now, the first three, overlook, discussion, and negotiation, are what you do with the other person. It's just you two kind of working it out. Sometimes it's best to overlook. The Bible even tells us that love covers over a multitude of sin. And sometimes what the person does is no big deal. The difference between denial and overlooking is this, is how large is the problem? And is it an ongoing problem? Like if it's a big problem and it's hurting the relationship, you don't overlook that one. But you know, if the guy clips his toenails, you know, and leaves the toenail shavings or whatever on the floor, you know, whatever. Okay, maybe I can overlook that. Oh, maybe not. That's just gross. I don't know if I could overlook that. Yes, disgusting. Whatever. Some of you don't get your nail clippers out and start doing that in church. Anyway, I don't know. You just put it, whatever it is. You know, that's easy to overlook. But there are other things that aren't. So the difference is that in denial, you just say you don't deal with the bigger issues. Discussion, negotiation, again, these are things that you just typically do. You just talk through it with the other person and come to decision. If you need a good conflict resolution tool, conflict resolution tool. I've got a great one that helps with this negotiation. It's the kind of the give and take that you go through with the person. So these are really good. Now the next three that you see on the screen, mediation, arbitration, accountability, is when you pull another person in or several people in. The first two of that section, mediation, arbitration, you just pull another person in. Now I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Look, some of you, you're trying to do discussion and negotiation, but you really need to do mediation and arbitration. You need help. You need somebody. If you keep going around the same tree, doing the same things over and over again, thinking it's going to get better, or it's like a cycle every 2 months, every 6 weeks, something. You keep going around this tree. It is time to get somebody else involved in that discussion because you're not getting to the end of it. So you got to figure out, okay, all right, we've tried the discussion, the negotiation. It's time to move into mediation. Mediation just simply means the person listens to both sides and allows there to be a fair discussion. Because if you've ever been, especially in real conflict situations, there's usually one person that loves to dominate. And they talk, and they won't let the other, you don't understand, and they don't let the other person talk. Mediator says, okay, you've said your part, now let's hear his part. Okay, he said his part, now how do you respond to that? They just are kind of in some way sort of refereeing the discussion and helping the two kind of come to a resolution, a mutual agreed resolution to the problem. I've done that. Many of you have done that as well. Sometimes that's what I do within pastoral counseling. The next one, arbitration, is when you not only hear the issues that are going on, but then you say, okay, now this is what you guys need to do. That's where you get into counseling, therapy, or whatever, counseling. Sometimes I've done that with people. And some of you, that's what you need, because you're at a point where you've tried to, maybe you've tried to do a little mediation, but now it's time you get somebody else in that can look at it objectively and say, this is what you guys need to do. And again, things that you can agree upon. And then finally, the last one there is accountability. And that's when one of the people in the party said, I ain't doing anything and I ain't changing. Especially within a church context, if that happens, the Bible says you get two or three people involved in that situation. If that person doesn't change, then you need to have another discussion with the person and maybe even ask them to leave the church. Now, over the years, I've been here 20 some odd years, over the years, we've had that happen. It's usually, I can't say 100% because I can't remember them all, but typically a very divisive person that we've warned and had a warn that was causing division within the church. We eventually just said, hey, brother, sister, that accountability. If you don't change, then you're not welcome here. Because we can't have division within the church. We love you, but we cannot have that within the congregation. So there you go. So within accountability within, say, a family context or something, it may be that you and another person have to make a hard stand with the child. Or if there's a spouse involved, I'm not sure how exactly that may work itself out. But there's this accountability that says this far, no further. That kind of accountability. So those are conciliation responses. The last one section here on the right-hand side is attack responses or peace-breaking. Litigation is one of them. Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that Christians do not take Christians to court. Okay? So if you find yourself in that place, sometimes you can't help it. It's just going to end up that place. But if you can't help it, get an arbiter in, a mediator in, to kind of work through this thing. Assault. Of course, we think of physical assault, but it also could be emotional and verbal assault, where we're just attacking the person. And then certainly the last one there hopefully would never happen, but even murder. Staying off on top of the slippery slope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through chapter 11, verse 1. Paul's talking about there's this kind of conflict going on in the church. People saying you can't eat this, you can drink that, whatever. And Paul says, listen, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Here's what conflict allows. It allows for three opportunities. If you're taking notes, you can fill it in. I'm only going to focus in on one, and it's the last one. It is an opportunity to grow. Smile. Y'all smile, okay? It is an opportunity to grow. Because I guarantee you, most of us do not see it as an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity for many of us to run, right? Oh, good. I can get my track shoes on and get out of this relationship. You know, no, it is an opportunity for you to grow. Anybody that has worked through relationship conflict, anybody that's worked through relationship conflict, and come out on the end, on a positive end, would say, you know what? It's one of the best things that ever happened to me. It's one of the best things that ever happened to our relationship. It got us further down the road. As a believer, I'm telling you, let me just say this. The reason why some of you run from conflict . You're a coward. You're a coward. That's why you run. I'm not running. Yes, some of you do run. Here's what you do. You scream, you yell, and then you run. But you're running. You don't want to work through it because it's like, ooh, then I got to admit stuff, and then I got to look at me, and then I got to look at, you know, how I may be contributing. It's just a whole lot easier for me to yell and run or to slam the door and call it quits. Or to walk away and pretend it never happened. You don't want to deal with it because you know what? You're a big old fat coward. And God says, you want to grow? You want to mature? You want to deal with this thing? You want to become, you want to have the relationship you've always wanted with this person? You can. You can. But you're going to have to work through some issues. And so it's an opportunity for growth. Can I hear an amen? It is. I promise you that. I can say that with full assurance standing in front of you here this morning. So, what do you do? Here, the next 1, 2, 3 points are, this is what you can do right here. The very first one under this is, y'all say it with me, get the log out of your eye. Turn to somebody and tell them that right now, okay? All right, Keith, get the log out of your eye. You go first. You go first. That's good. That's right. Amen. Throw it right back at me. That's good. Matthew 7:5. Y'all look at that with me. 7:3-5. He says, and why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? Oh, law guy. That's you, old law guy. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't get past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So why is it important that you get the log out of your own eye? Humility. It's humility. That's what it is. It's saying, you know what? I'm doing something. I know I'm contributing. I'm getting humble here. I've done something to hurt a relationship. It is getting humble. And humility is a great thing. I'm telling you, if you can be humble, I realize sometimes the relationships are very adversarial, and that may be a challenge. But humility, I'm telling you, goes a long way in restoring the relationship. And this humility says, I've done some stuff that's hurt our relationship, and admitting to it and confessing to it. And so in the confession box, if you're taking notes, here are the different things that you can do. That second one's important. Do not play down the guilt. Well, I only did that, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you, but I only did that because you, please don't go there. You just got you another problem is all you did, all right? Well, I know it was bad, and I'm really sorry for it, but at least it wasn't as bad as... Oh, would you please don't do that? Don't say the at least, or the but, or whatever. Or if you... I'm really sorry, but if you had changed, if you hadn't done that, then I... Just don't go there. Do not minimize your part in what's gone on. Apologize. That's it. Will you forgive me for... Will you, say that with me, will you forgive me for? Then you got to fill in the blank. And that gets real personal. And again, that's this humility thing is so important. The next one's there. Hopefully you've had time to fill in, except, Stephanie, have you had time to fill it in? Let's see if the First Lady's had time to fill it in. If not, then we'll wait. We'll wait on you. Okay, you got it? She always accuses me of moving the slides too fast. Okay, so here we go. Okay, and everybody else is shaking their head too. Okay. Well, if you would just be quicker. I'm showing you a bad example. Bad example, okay? It's what I'm doing right here. I'm sorry if you would just be quicker. That's it. There you go. Oh, and I... Okay, I was wrong. Please forgive me for moving the slides too fast. Okay, there we go. You just saw it worked out in front of you. All right. So the next thing is very important. That is, go and show your brother or sister his or her fault. This is from Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15 says that, look, if somebody sinned against you, then you go straight to them. And it's important that when you go to them, again, we talk about the overlooking minor offenses, is this one right here. You go talk to them in private. Now, as y'all are filling in your notes there, I want Doug to come up, and he's going to share something that just happened this past week about living out this thing.
I have this pastor that I follow on Twitter. He's just someone that speaks to me a lot, and he's involved in a documentary that... No? Vague? Okay. Anyways. So he's kind of like up there, and he sent a message or a post with him, and he... And I've watched him for a while, so I know his heart, and it seemed like this big ranting thing that was going on, and it really bothered me. And I guess to make a... It's a really long story, but... So Holy Spirit was just prodding me, and I'm like, really? So prodding me to write him a letter. So all through the morning, it was just kind of, you need to write him a letter. I'm like, really? This guy's kind of like... You know, so I spent the morning writing this letter, and instead of placing it on like Facebook, like all the other people were doing that were either jabbing or you know, praising him, I sent it to him through Twitter, and he ended up sending me some messages back, a bunch of them actually, and they took down the post, and he like repented of it, and it was pretty amazing actually, and how God can use someone so small. And I think it was one of the things he thanked me for was not posting it, like sending it to him personally so that he could deal with it the way Holy Spirit wanted him to deal with it.
It's a really powerful thing. It was just private. He just went to, though the guy had, he made a public statement and, you know, was given a reason why he believed what he did. Doug went to him and said, you know what, I'm going to do this privately. And, you know, when you confront people of power and people of influence, oftentimes you don't get a real positive response back or any response back. But this guy humbled himself, and he admitted, you know, you're right. Took down the post, the public post, the whole thing. And I wanted, you know, I just wanted to know what Doug said to him. I said, I really would like to see what you said to him. And what Doug said, that second bullet there where it says tone and attitude, you could hear Doug's heart. You could hear the tone. You could hear the attitude. It wasn't like, you, why, you shouldn't, none of that kind of nonsense. It was just Doug's heart for this guy, and that guy felt it. I mean, I could feel it as well. And it changed him. And I say it changed him. The Holy Spirit is who changed him. And he gave into the work of the Holy Spirit. So this whole thing of go and talk in private to the person. Don't post it publicly. Don't, you know, make a big deal out of it. Just go and talk individually to the person. And then the next and the last one is this, is to be reconciled. Let's look there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3:12 says, since God chose you to be holy people, and that is to be separate, to be different, to be unique, to be set apart, since he chose you to be those kinds of people, he loves you. You must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And again, that's in relationship with people. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive one another. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourself with love, which binds us together. Go and be reconciled to the person. And so this is important. All these things here, once you're reconciled, as best I can, I'm not going to think about it. The third one there, I will not talk with others about this incident. In other words, if we're trying to work through reconciliation, I'm not going to be bringing a ton of people to the table. And sometimes you have to go to others to receive counsel and a little bit of wisdom. Some of you have done that with me. You've had problems with kids or friends or family members, and you've come and you've said, Pastor Scott, here's what's going on. How should I approach this? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, if you're trying to get me to stand up for you and take your position, that's another thing. But if you're just saying, I need some wisdom, some counsel, that can be a wise thing. But let me just tell you, if you do that, and I would say that if you ask me for wisdom and counsel about whatever the relationship problem is, or would you please tell me how that ended up, okay? I kind of like knowing those things because sometimes I've had people come to me and share with me some really hard situations, and I'm like, I hope they worked it out. I hope they worked it out. And I go on kind of, I don't want to say fretting, but concerned about the relationship for like months. It's like, I talk to you next time. After we talked, it all worked out. It was great. And I was kind of working myself up into a lather for 2 months, okay? So please tell me about those things. That would be helpful. But for the most part, don't involve others who have nothing to do, have nothing to contribute to that discussion. I will not allow this incident to come between us or hinder our personal relationship. Now, here's the last thing, and it's not on your notes, but what if it isn't possible? What if I can't resolve the issue with the person? And sometimes that happens. You've tried, you've prayed, you've been humble, you've admitted your part, you have even maybe received counsel, and you have tried to mediate or arbitrate. You've done everything, but it's just like you can get nowhere. This is where, possibly, you put the fence up around the relationship. Okay? The fence that says, this far, no further. We will never have a close relationship. I love you, I care for you, I forgive you, but our relationship is kind of toxic. And every time we get too close, it ain't good. And maybe it's a picket fence, okay? So you can see them, you can kind of wave at them, that kind of thing. It may be you got to put a big stone wall, I don't know. But it may be, if it's kind of like a picket fence, this sort of loose fence, you've got little openings, a little front gate that says, hey, on special occasions, we will do things together as a family. Maybe it's family members, we'll celebrate Christmas together. But as soon as the holidays are over, out the door, and you shut the gate behind you, okay? Kind of being facetious there, but there's some truth to that. And so it may be that that's what has to happen, is that you put up a boundary to keep that person or that group from harming you any further. But you have to enforce the boundaries. You have to enforce the fence around you. So let me just ask you, if going back to this thing that we emphasized read earlier, since love is the supreme value of the Christian life, then unity is not an option. Who do you need to get unified with? Who is it? I don't want to hear a name, but who is it? Who do you need to work through your issues with? Listen, if there are broken relationships today, God's calling you to show love and to work on those relationships. And if you've, look, for some of you, you've tried all these approaches, you've denied, you've run away, you've discussed, you've negotiated, whatever, but you've not done the arbitration where you've gotten counsel, pulled another person in, it's time to try that approach. Beginning after our 40 days of community, we're going to run our series again, Emotionally Healthy Relationships. We're going to do that on Wednesday nights. It gives you great tools on how to have strong relationships with people, how to work through challenges, how to have set healthy expectations. It's not just about marital relations, it's about all relationships. So I encourage you to be here on those Wednesday nights after our 40 days of community study. Since love is of supreme value, in fact, let's stand together. Let's stand, and I want us to say that again. Read it with me. Since love is the supreme value of a Christian life, then unity is not an option. So, Holy Spirit, I pray for those here today that have living in disunity with people. And they're tolerating something you don't want them to tolerate. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you give them grace to humble themselves, to own up to their part, and then to reach out to the other person. I pray that you give them wisdom today to involve others if that's needed. And show them the way of love through the darkness. Before we close, I want to say this. I think some of you, the way you've approached things is you've just said, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just not going to say anything. And again, sometimes there's wisdom in that. But maybe there isn't anymore for some of you. And all silence does is create a greater wedge. Silence can be golden, but silence also can be deadly, right? And for some of you, you've been silent for too long. And you need to begin talking and working through some things. Because when there is silence, we always fill in that gap with negativity and with false beliefs. And silence creates greater frustration within you and within that relationship. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you give wisdom to these that need to talk, who've held it in too long. And you're scared. Listen, I just feel like the Lord just saying, highlighting this. Some of you are scared. You say, man, if I say that, it's going to kill the relationship. It's going to make it worse. I'm telling you, it's already dying. Okay? It's not like you're in a place of health if you're holding it all in. It's already dying. And I'm telling you, on your own, yes, you may cause a greater problem, but if you get somebody else involved, somebody else that has skill and wisdom and experience, I'm telling you, it's going to be rough on the front end, but on the back end, you're going to have what you've always wanted. So I especially pray for those that just have a hard time of speaking the truth, of speaking what is really going on, that you give them that grace to release it and also give them the wisdom on how to release it and what needs to be said. And just again, Holy Spirit seems to be on this thing right now, so there's maybe some of you have a relationship with a child, be they young or old, I don't know, but just with the child, that there's a separation and a distance right now. You're not talking. And I think the Lord is saying you need to reach out one more time, be humble, take ownership of what you have done. But you're in an open season right now. There's an opportunity here. And if you don't take it, that season's not going to remain open forever. So reach out in love. And Lord, I thank you that you're giving that grace to these families here today, these individuals, to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Woo, that was kind of heavy. Oh, that's good. All right. Receive this as a blessing. I'm going to be down, and I won't be down front, but David Savage and the other prayer folks will be down front. If you need them to pray for you, whatever your need is, receive that from the Lord. And I want to speak this blessing over you. My wife and I, we will be in the back. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we'd love to give you a gift, a small gift, before you get away here. So just take a moment to meet with us there in the atrium. Receive this. Open up your hands. Receive it as a gift from God. May the God of hope today fill you with your relationship with joy, love, peace, wholeness, and truth. And may you experience the loving unity that exists between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is possible because of your faith in Jesus. Amen.